Hey, welcome back to the Between Dreams podcast. A return guest, Taylor Hughes, is here today. Taylor's been on all of the things that I've done throughout the years. Podcasts, and then other podcasts, and then YouTube videos, and let's just talk about this on video, and talk about this, and it's been always something. It's funny because I feel like between the two of us, there's always something that, like, right before we started recording this, it was like, yo, check out this. I'm fiddling this thing and this gear. And then I'm like, yeah, I have that, but I need to use it in a live stream tomorrow. And I don't know how to use it. And you're like, oh, you could use this. And it was like, it was funny because, like, you were saying all that stuff that you were doing. And I was like, I can't hear all of this right now because I need to keep it simpler than all of the crazy stuff that you're figuring out. So, for context of people that might somehow not know who you are and what you do, is you are primarily a magician, but in this kind of a storytelling world of magic, crafting stories, utilizing magic to make those stories come to life, and all about the idea of this theme of chasing wonder, which is super powerful in every story. And then when you add magic, like real magical moments to it, it becomes truly a magical experience for the audience. And then, so typically this would obviously happen in front of live audiences in theaters and events, and for corporate events and theme parks and all of the places that people do performances. Now, of course, you've gone full in on the digital, creating the show and creating a world where you're not losing any of that storytelling power or any of that magic or any of that wonder just because there's happens to be a screen between you and the audience. Bring that feeling to it. And some of the stuff that you were just talking about, maybe we can get into, not too much into the tech, but just some ideas of how you're utilizing that tech to make it. And you even said, like, kind of doing it as if it was a live show instead of doing it as if it was a show on Zoom or whatever. So that's your intro.
I was thinking the other day about when we met. Do you remember the night that we met? I could be wrong because we've done so many things together. I'm pretty sure the first time I met you was in an alley in Santa Monica on the same night I met Nick Paul because it was an Adam Grabowski's show.
Oh, okay.
The grab bag, I think you called it. I think that's the first night we met.
Yeah, that's interesting because I would normally with people, especially like LA performers, I would just assume that I know most of them from Booby Trap World.
Right, right. But I think I ended up going, you invited me that night to go to Booby Trap, and that was my first time going to Booby Trap was after that.
Yeah, I remember that now. It's like, I skipped over that almost in a little bit of like, now I'm thinking back. And then I remember like you going to Booby Trap and then it was like, oh, that was cool. Cause like you just didn't, or you heard about it, but it wasn't like really in your thing or something.
Yeah. It's funny, man. I think about that night and it's okay that it means more to me than it does to you. But I think about that night a ton because it was at this moment where I was doing so much corporate work. And I'm not bragging like I was doing so much, but I mean, that's kind of like my whole world of performing was corporate work. And then I intentionally said, I'm going to start getting involved more in the community of entertainment rather than just being like this, you know, this solo entertainer who like travels around, you know, to weird ballrooms around the country. I'm going to like meet some other people that do this. And so I started saying yes to doing shows like comedy clubs and Booby Trap and things like this. And dude, it changed my world. It like totally expanded, not just my, you know, my, what I do on stage as a performer, but just having this community of other people who are like in the trenches with you. You know what I mean? It's almost like, not to equate it too much to it, but it's like when people talk about like their war buddies, it's like when you talk to other entertainers, nobody else gets this weird, bizarre, wonderful, insane world that we live in. And so, man, that night really does stand out to me because I met you and I met Nick Paul and, I kind of met you at this turning point of like how I was doing my, you know, performance or career or whatever. So,
Yeah, I think about stuff like that so often of like, just, you know, it's like thinking back of all the thing, the conversations and the things that we've like talked, and the same thing of me going to variety shows and going to the things. And it's like, think about all of those like conversations that the two of us have had, even like with like figuring stuff out with tech and cameras and gear and audio and all that stuff of like, sometimes it's like, I mean, it's a, there's, so there's like two sides of it. It's like amazing to have those people, but then it's like, I often then like think about the other side and it's like, what if you really like actively all day tried to build those? It was like, think all the things that happen just because you go to variety shows and stuff. And then thinking about like, take that to the next level. What if you were like a professional networker where you would really take it? Imagine the power of that then, of like, really taking it to the next level. I think that's like the next level of like the between dreams and the just go thing, because it's like, I've seen the same thing of like the just go thing is like, oh, there's a show going on, go to it, or say yes to perform at it. And by doing that, it was like, you know, it's like a booby trap thing. It was like, I know like 35 like good friends just from booby trap, from going there, and let alone like all the, it completely changed like how I did my show and how I thought about my show by having that 4 minute slot every week to like figure out what's a high energy thing when I would never get that in another place.
My kids laugh at me. They're like, "Dad, you have so many friends." Because I'm always like, "Oh, we're watching TV," and I'm like, I joke that I'm famous adjacent, because like in a night of watching TV, I'll probably see three people I know on the TV.
Yeah.
Oh, like there's Matt McCarthy on that commercial. You know, what I mean? And my kids always joke with me. But there's, I think, don't you think there's something about the doing a show, even with its if it's strangers that you're with, there's something like almost like a summer camp vibe where you. You have to like go so deep so quick, or you know, you've got to pull this thing off, so you're working together. So it's like you almost get past the normal meeting a person where you're just like, well, what are you into? Well, what, you know, maybe it's because we speak the same language or we're trying to accomplish the same things. But I feel like there's all these friends that I've met around the country that when I think back at it, I'm like, I talk to that person all the time on the phone. I've only seen them in person one time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like we stay friends on Instagram or whatever. We talk back and forth, but it's like, oh, this person who I feel really connected to and really close to, I've only ever spent like one afternoon pulling this show together with, you know?
Yeah. Alex Clark on a previous, like the first time Alex Clark was a guest on this show was years ago. And I like, I felt like I think I like knew him from the NACA world, just like kind of like seeing him at NACA and stuff. And then obviously he was building himself up on the YouTube world, so he was pretty visible. And I remember that when we did like the Zoom, we did a remote interview there that was like before I was doing most of them in person. And I mean, he popped on, he was like, I think this is the first time we ever actually had a conversation. I was like, yeah, I guess that is true. I was like, we both know each other, but we've never met in person. We just like knew each other, but we actually didn't know each other at all. We just like by even watching it. So that's like even the next step over it. And then Ben Hilsinger, who was on a couple episodes ago, he's now the drummer for Eve Six. So he's just got like super cool stories, and know him from LA. Like I went on tour with them for a little bit making videos and stuff. And it was like, we talked about that. Like there's like this camaraderie between people who do the NACA circuit of just like, yeah, we've been through like, you know, anyone that's done like more than a handful of college shows.
Right.
Is like, oh, they understand something different, a different level, a different corner of showbiz that like other people don't understand.
Yeah. There's something about performing in a, you know, cafeteria for eight people.
Yeah. And doing it more than one, like everyone, like anyone who's in showbiz did like one of those, but the college performers, like, oh yeah, I'm like 25 deep into the cafeteria noontime show.
That was worse for me with college shows. What I think is even worse than like the terrible setup in the cafeteria, because I've had a couple of those that were really great, like if it's packed and everyone's into it.
Yeah.
But one of the last college shows I did was in Boston, and I get there early and I go into the theater. And it's a gorgeous theater. I mean, like a 600-700 seat gorgeous theater with a proscenium and a full light rig, everything. And I'm like, this is going to be great. And there was like 30 people there. They were all spread out.
People in the balcony, like, in the back. Like, why would you sit up there?
I'd rather be in the crowded cafeteria.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like days like that. You're happy that you can hang out at home now and do some shows at home. Obviously, it's nice to have those real moments with the audience, but spin that over now. It's like, as we said at the beginning, you're doing these, like, you've got such a cool setup too, because you have a dedicated space, which is like game changing from what most people have for like, oh, I have to like push the couch out of the way.
Yeah. I'm so grateful. I really had a good head start in a couple of ways when this year hit. Once everything went virtual, we've talked about camera stuff and equipment and gear. I've been a gearhead for a while. I've always done like little video sketches and stuff, whether it's for clients or for YouTube or in my old job before all this. I was constantly making videos and editing. So luckily, I already had a ton of gear and like the knowledge of a lot of like a head start when it came to like setting all this stuff up. But then 3 years ago, we built a shed in my backyard, which we've talked about before on here. And just, it's not a big space. You know, I could reach my arms out like this and almost touch the walls on either side. But there's just something about having a spot where everything can live and be set up. And it's like, this space exists just to be creative, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, you've done that with your house.
Yeah. I have the benefit of not having a spouse and children that yell at me if I leave all the crap everywhere. So,
oh my goodness, man. And that's the other thing too, like, because, and I can't imagine for people right now with like little kids where they're having homeschool and all this stuff, like having a place that's on, you know, it's literally 10 feet out the back door, but it's at the house, but it's not in the house, is like a total game changer.
Yeah. So even being somebody that, you know, and I'm the same way, like I like the tech and the gear and the gadgets and all that, but it's very frustrating because it's like your place is like a pile of stuff. I've got a couple cameras here. I can see myself on monitors that are recording, and there's an audio thing here that like right before we started this, we're like, well, I don't know why it sounds so quiet. It looks good over here, but it's just literally a mystery.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it is, you know, weird connections through the internet that happen and screw stuff up. Sometimes it is, like for me, this season has been crazy because, you know, I'm doing virtual experiences, but I'm doing them generally on the client's platform.
Right.
You know, unless it's like my own ticketed show, then it's run through my Zoom and I got it all set up and I know what to expect. But I'll book a show and then they'll say, okay, we're doing a show with WebEx or with Microsoft Teams or with BlueJeans or with, you know, Kinesis or like all these things I had never heard of before. I'm like, why can't we all just use Zoom? You know? But then you log on and you find out that one doesn't accept your, you know, your capture device it doesn't recognize it as a camera source. So there is a lot of like punting and figuring out what works on all the different platforms and doing a million tests. And so like I literally have a little folder with all my settings for if something's on Microsoft Teams, here's the five things I adjust before that show starts, you know. Or Zoom will have a delay that I don't get in these other platforms. So then I adjust my audio. You know what I mean? I have to adjust my audio so that there's a sync with the voice and all that. So it's crazy. It's fun, but it's exhausting.
Yeah. So how did, like, in those, so like, you know, the Between Dreams thing is exactly that. It's like things are really hard. And they're often even harder in your mind when you're thinking about it than actually. But it's also actually really hard. And I've been exploring this idea as of recently. I think I've always been exploring it. I think I've defined it. And it's this thing of, like, it seems unreasonable to do some of this stuff. Like when I saw, when you showed me before we started filming, maybe we could post a photo on, I'll share it on Instagram or something of your behind the scenes. It seems unreasonable. Like you were like, no, I'm just not going to, you know, and some people are saying that. No, I'm a live theater performer. This is unreasonable for me to be a video, a TV production studio.
Yeah.
And, well, I want to be a podcast host, but now they kind of need to be also video. So I need two cameras, multiple cameras. Now I need to figure out how to do this remote. That seems unreasonable for me as somebody who wants to be a podcast host to also have three cameras running and audio. And I just need to hope that they're working because I'm paying attention to this and not those.
Right.
Yeah, there's not four people in a control room doing it. All of these things, and even thinking about live theater, it seems really unreasonable to go to Santa Monica and pay like $14 for parking at a show that you're not getting paid for. And also, like, you don't know if it's going to work. Like, you're not getting a sound check. Your music might play when you walk out on stage. All of these things, like, you're going to get 7 minutes on stage. You know, it's like the time on stage is like half the time that it took you to actually park your car in the parking garage, let alone drive. You know, an hour over there. So like unreasonable for a career worth of stuff. And then people are like, that's awesome. You did this thing that I thought was impossible because you did a bunch of unreasonable things. And that the individual is like, no, that doesn't make sense to do that. But when you do it every day, it starts to turn into something. So I thought that was really an interesting thing, and it really reminded me of this: do something unreasonable every day. You going in there and tinkering with this stuff and figuring it out. So talk about that a little bit of what does that take, particularly for somebody who is mostly you love gear and tech, but like you're not your profession isn't
I'm not a professional. Yeah, audio.
It's like you've become that kind of by accident, but you're a professional entertainer.
Yeah.
So how do you wait? Like on days when you're like, cool, I want to be a professional entertainer. What's some of that process of like, okay, cool, but there's nobody who can. There ain't anybody else in the shed who's gonna fix this problem for me unless I do it myself.
Well, YouTube is your best friend.
Yeah.
almost always, if there's something that goes wrong, it's already gone wrong and somebody's made it a video to show you how to like work it out. You know, like I look at this stuff like people look at cooking. You know, when someone tells me like, oh, I'm not a good cook, I want to be like, well, so you can't follow directions? Like, there's a million recipes and like tutorials and videos that if you do what that person did, you will have a similar result. Maybe not the exact same result, but you'll have a meal and it'll be great. And that's the same thing with all this tech stuff. And I think part of what helped me going into this year, I should like owe a huge thank you to you and to, you know, Between Dreams and the whole process that you kind of live your life by, because hanging out over the last couple years with you and seeing, you know, following your journey and see what you do, and when I have a crazy idea of like, I'm going to turn a shed into a production studio, I think, well, Chris would say that's a good idea. You know what I mean? Like it's important to have friends like this, or people that you connect with, or podcasts that you listen to that are going to tell you to do some things that may be unreasonable. But if you always do the reasonable thing, well, then you're just going to have what everybody else has, you know? And I laugh because there are, it's kind of tragic. There are magicians and performers who are highly skilled, who are right now sitting on a Facebook page complaining to other performers that there's no opportunities with virtual, that it's not worth doing, that it's not going to stick around. And I am sitting here, you know, having replaced my touring income performing in a shed in my backyard. And I'm like, okay, great. It's, to me, it sounds unreasonable for people to tell other people, don't try this, don't give it a go, don't do this. Really, it's just, it's a different kind of opportunity in a different season. And if you will do the things that you need to do, you can be in a different place, you know? Yeah. So thank you for making me feel not crazy.
Well, yeah, and thanks for sharing that. That's an amazing like thing to hear, first of all, because like half the time I'm like, I don't know what the heck, why am I doing this is unreasonable. What am I doing with my life? Like,
but
this is crazy.
Moments, right? You know, look, when you spend the money on the gear, it's unreasonable. When you set up the gear and it doesn't work, it's unreasonable. When you're sitting there looking at all the other things that you could have accomplished, but you're doing this, it's unreasonable. But then when you're sitting there with the artist in your studio that you've created and they're presenting their art and you're capturing it in this beautiful way, aren't you like, so glad I did all that unreasonable stuff?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, this took all those little steps.
And that's the challenge, I think, is a lot of people want that. A lot of people want to do what Chris Ruggiero does. They want to like do Between Dreams. They want to have that experience, but they don't want to spend the hours and hours and hours of time behind the scenes, gaff taping things to your ceiling and like, you know, doing all the stuff that it takes. And I think this is a good season for all of us to go like, look, 2020 threw a wrench in all of our plans, but there are still needs that need to be met, right? Like not only for us needing to like provide shelter and food and all of that for ourselves and our families, but clients have brand new needs that have never existed before, which means that maybe they don't need someone to physically come to their location. But if you can provide an experience digitally for them, they need that. Like they need that desperately. So there are huge opportunities, but you just have to, look at it a little bit differently.
Yeah. And
sorry, I don't know if I went off the rails there.
No, it's so good. And one of the things like thinking about the magicians, particularly in these like Facebook groups that are like, oh, well, I just don't get the Zoom thing. And it's like, It almost gets me a little bit like fired up about it because people are like, well, I'm a live theater performer, not a TV producer. Right. I'm like, no, what you agreed to was to be an entertainer.
Right.
And when you were on stage, things went off the rails and you stepped up, hopefully, if you were a good entertainer, you stepped up and said, okay, maybe today I don't get to do this trick because there's an opportunity to be a real entertainer in this moment. And for some reason, this one was bigger than like a kid in the audience misbehaving or something. Most people hadn't had the exercise in figuring this one out. So they were like, that's too far out of my zone. So I'm not going to meet the audience where they are, except this is just, you signed up to be an entertainer. Hey, something crazy happened in your show. Now you need to step up and meet the audience where they are. Literally this time they're in a different place.
Which is crazy, Chris, because you and I, like we hang out with circus people, right? We hang out with magicians and jugglers and contortionists. We hang out with people who will spend 12 hours a day with this, doing things that are impossible for other people to do. And when they first try it, it's impossible. When they first try, I'm going to juggle 7 balls. That's impossible for a lot of people. But the more you try, the more you try, the more you try, you learn the skills. And these are the same people that can do these, that everyone else looks at what they do and they go, that's impossible. And then they're like, I don't know how to use the internet. It's like, why do you think your abilities and your capabilities stop when you put your hands on a keyboard? You know, like just shift that same energy and focus. Like you're talented. You've got this ability. You've got this drive. I mean, if you can sit with a deck of cards and practice and practice and practice to get something so flawlessly that no one even notices you're doing it.
Yeah.
You can learn how to work a camera.
Yeah. Yeah. And double down on that. The skills of it are one thing, but then also it's like, again, the obligation, if you're going to call yourself an entertainer.
Right.
You're obligated to and give the audience, the people need that people also, you can complain if you're a magician at home who lost all your gigs, but there's people at home who are also complaining that they haven't seen their family or their friends in a year. So you can give them a nice moment of magic or a smile or a joke or a juggling trick or whatever to make them feel a little bit better. And it's like this, the thing of like saying, I'm not going to do that is insane. And again, it's like, that's why I hope these conversations that we get to, we're lucky enough to be able to have these conversations publicly. We'll hopefully hear people might, one of those people might hear this and be like, oh, you know what? That's actually true. I just didn't feel like doing it. So I right. came up with all these other excuses.
Well, and it comes down to your motivation, right? Like, what's your intention behind what you do? You know, and if your intention as a performer is solely what you get out of the experience, whether it be financial gain or applause or any of that, you're never going to be as good of an entertainer as if you go out there going, how can I give these people an experience they can't get, you know, unless I do this thing that can motivate or encourage or move them or make them laugh or whatever it is. And I just think this is an incredible new venue that people are not given a chance. And I don't need to, I mean, if you didn't ask me to talk about this, I'm not going around trying to talk people into this. It's like,
yeah, if anything, you're increasing competition by encouraging people to do it.
I've never been worried about that. You know this, like, I feel like there's enough work for everybody who wants to put in the work to get it, in this environment. And I think it's interesting if a year and a half ago, you know, you told us or any other performer, hey, there's this new venue that's opening up. And what's crazy is if you work this venue, you're making your same, like, you know, money you're making flying around the country doing corporates. But like in 2 hours, you can make what it took you 3 days of travel to get. And you can have more time at home and you can spend more time with your family or with like doing the stuff that you like to do, right? All of us would be like, sign me up. Who books that? Right. Yeah. And everyone's like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Anyway. It's crazy.
It's a weird thing.
So about three steps back, we're talking about like building, like creating, like here, like building this whole place here. That's like the Between Dreams space. There's a couple rooms that are made for pretty much. I live here, but also it's more so a place more than me just sleeping here. It's made to create things. And there is something interesting. I forget what context of a few minutes ago you said something that made me think of this. Seeing that idea come to life, especially in a place like this. I've always been kind of fascinated by like TV sets for a really big one, when it's like before the show starts and it just has this like shell of there's an idea there. And then with the flip of a switch, it comes on. Like theaters have it, obviously. Like when you're setting up for the show and the work lights are on, and you're just like, oh, this place is kind of gross. And it's like dirty usually. You know, because there's no magic, and it's like, boom, a light switch goes, and it turns into this magical thing. You know, the curtain opens, and I have that feeling a lot of times, because especially in the Between Dreams room, which is just on the other side of this wall, there's the curtains and the Between Dreams banner and all the lights, and it really becomes a magical place. Yeah. But when I when I walk through it to go to the bedroom on the other side at night, the lights are off and it kind of has that the lifeless thing to it. But I walk through many nights and kind of can't help but just to stop and like look at it and like imagine, like, oh, this is a place that kind of got created out of nothing. Yeah. And now with a flip of a switch, like anything's possible. And I wanted to ask you, what does that feel like? Maybe like before a show when you're in there tinkering with all the gear and all the stuff that people don't see, or like at the end of the night when it's like that, it's like almost sometimes you hate to hit the last light switch because you're like, oh, that's going to turn off the magic in a way. Yeah. What does that feel like to you in either before the shows or after the shows when it's like the lights aren't on, but you can actually like look around and be like, oh, this was like an idea that you know, because no one has a studio that's set up exactly like you. Like we all have kind of the same gear. Like we've all got a laptop and an A10 mini Sony camera and a Shure microphone. You know, it's like crazy. Like the gear that everyone has is almost all exactly the same.
Right.
Yet everyone has like a completely different universe that they've created. So what's that like for you in those moments when the magic's not flipped on? Do you have moments like that where you're just like, holy cow, like, look at this. Where, how did this happen even? Like, because it's like, you know, if even a few years ago, if we would show each other like the setups that we have, we would be like, nope, that's crazy. That's not what I do. Right. So yeah, what's that like for you? Like, I have those feelings where I'm just like, wow, I can sit there and like appreciate the darkness of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like you said, the gear is the gear, you know, it's great, but it's something about bringing the gear together and the space and the decorating. And like, I mean, this building that I'm sitting in, this tiny little 8-foot by 10-foot building, my daughters helped me build this. Like, most of the nails in this place were hammered in by the hands of, like, you know, a little 9-year-old girl who helped me do this. Like, so yeah, there is a lot of pride in like having a space that you've put together that's your own and that you've created. And I think whenever, because I mean, with the stress of like gear not working sometimes or having issues and all this stuff, we can forget about the magic of what we're doing. You know what I mean? Like, you can forget about, like, take a look around, look where you're at. Like, in essence, you're in your own little Willy Wonka factory where, like you said, anything is possible. And like, it came out of an idea in your head. And for me, the thing that always gets me back to that moment is I'll make appointments with my 8-year-old self. So like, I'll literally be like, okay, I'm stressed. I'm anxious about these gigs coming up. I've got this crazy busy day where I've got to do this, this, and this, and there's this other projects I want to do. And, you know, you just get your heads all cloudy. And I just go, nope. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down and, you know, I'm going to talk to my 8-year-old self. And there's just something about looking at your situation right now through the eyes of you when you were a kid that you instantly go like, Chris, look how cool this is. Like, you live there. And wait, all that stuff is yours. And that's where you get to create. And like, that's the playground that you've built. Like, for me, there's something so grounding about just, you know, when things get crazy, just going like, okay, time to talk to my kid self and be like, hey, Taylor, this is pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That's so good of just reminding yourself of, as you were saying that though, I was like thinking about how it wouldn't even work to talk to the 8-year-old version of myself, because that kid would just be like, definitely not. I'm like, that's got to be like me like 3 years ago.
Wow.
Because that person is like, right, seeing me now as like, holy cow, you saw the exact, like, it's like when I was 8, I couldn't even see it. And it's like, and I love that, exactly the same sentiment, but it's almost like, I don't even have to go that far back. I just have to go like a year or two. And it's like, holy cow, this is all like, this is like huge, now a big step, not as like.
Because we always live life looking forward, right? Like, we're always, especially when you're like you hustle and you grind and like, you know, people who approach life with that attitude of like, I'm going to create, I'm going to make, I'm going to put content on, I'm going to do stuff. You are always looking forward to the next thing. What am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? And if you just step back a year or two or three or four and look at where you're at now, you're like, dang, wow. You know, sometimes it's hard to see the progression or the movement or the growth because you're constantly looking at where you're headed next rather than just turning around and going, look how far I've come.
Yeah. Here we are. We did it. We made it.
We did it.
At what point do we say we did it? We did everything that we could do. Never. And that's what's most fascinating about that. It's like, and that always happens. As long as you keep being willing to keep showing up and keep going, it's great.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's people right now who, I mean, let's be real. If you look, 2020, if you did nothing this year, that's okay. Like, give yourself a break and this was the most insane year ever. And look, it's not too late to start whatever it is you want to do now. Like, that's the thing I love about this mentality or this attitude of like, you know, you can create a playground, an opportunity, a business, a career. Like, you get to choose what it is you want to do. And for the first 33 years of my life, I did not do that. For the first 33 years of my life, I just was going with the flow, doing what other people thought I should do with my life. And then at a certain point, I said, wait a minute. This is it. This is the only go I get. What do I want to do? You know what I mean? What, as a family, Katie and I and our kids, like, who do we want to be? What do we want to do? And I shifted at 33. Like, you can just make a decision and say, like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And there are people, they're great people and resources like this show and like you. Like, there's just great friends that will come around and help you do the things that you want to do, you know. But it is on you to kind of make the decision to say, okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah. And that's a great perspective too, of being reminded that, because a lot of people, when they're 19, they're like, oh, I should have started when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
Or when they're 33, or when they're 45, right. And when they're 60, you know, they're like, well, the kids are better at this stuff. So that's a great reminder of, like, because people, you know, if there's a 16-year-old listening right now, they're like, 33?
I know.
You can't do anything when you're 33. You're too old, you know, and it's like, you can just take it from us two old guys that when you're quote old, like, even I remember like being at college and seeing people that were like my age now, or like, you know, like our age, and being like, whoa, there's like, because I was friends with a few like older people. And I was like, "Whoa, this is cool. They're just like, they act like me.
Yeah.
They don't act like old people." the 37-year-olds that I like knew from when they still like worked at the college at Penn State or whatever. Yeah. And I was just, now it's like a thing of like realizing they're like, "Oh, because people don't like, you don't like wake up one day and be like, I'm an old person." You just can keep acting like innovative and taking advantage of those things and like reinventing yourself at when you're 50. You know, it's like so cool.
Yeah. And like you said, it's a constant shift. It's not just going like, "Okay, I did it once, but what's you know, we're at the beginning of a new year. What's this year going to look like, you know, for you and your life and the projects you're working on?" I mean, I have a podcast that has 160 something episodes that I just changed the whole theme of.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be launching a whole different thing with it because, you know, things shift and grow and change and you got to change with them. So,
yeah, that's awesome. So we'll talk about that in a second as to tie this all up. But I think that's a perfect tie up of like, there's no, I've talked to a bunch of people lately that like, they're afraid to start because they're like, oh, I don't know what I want my website to be. I don't know what I want the podcast to be about. I don't want to what my YouTube channel to be about. I don't know what I want my book to write about, because they think they have the one shot. Like, oh, if you make a videographer website, you need to make this type of videos, or your channel needs to be this, or your podcast needs to be this, and or your book needs to be this. Like, you can write another book. You can change your YouTube channel. No one cares. You can make a new one. You can make a new podcast. You can change the title of your podcast. You could do anything that you want. You can just change it. And it's like me, I was like doing juggling shows, and I was like, I want to make content more than I want to do juggling shows. So I said, well, I'm not booking any more juggling shows. And now I make way more content, and it's exponentially better, like instantly. No one cared that I stopped doing juggling shows. Like, some people, people were like, that was crazy. That was like your whole life. And I was like, yeah, I just didn't really feel like doing that anymore.
I think sometimes we can make the mistake of thinking that the most important thing to us is apparent to everybody else. Like, you know, whether it be, you know, this is what I do for a living, or this is what I do for fun, or this is my hobby, or whatever it is. Like, most people are so worried what other folks are going to think about them, but most of the time, nobody else is thinking about us, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nobody else is waking up and going like, oh, I wonder what Taylor's going to do today.
Yeah.
Nobody is. So why am I worried to just change it up if it's something that I want to do different, or, you know, that I feel more passionately about or whatever. So I think it's a good call, man.
That's awesome. So we'll tie this up. And speaking of coming out with new stuff, as people are listening to this as it comes out, but relevant, obviously, anytime. But for the current, if it's people are listening right as this comes out, starting off the new year, And I think it's the same thing, like you said, that's a good point of like people don't need to feel bad that they didn't accomplish a lot 2020. But if you do feel bad that you didn't accomplish a lot in 2020, like, cool, like you can do, you can start the New Year's on a blank slate. And also, you can start February 17th on a new slate. And yeah. You don't need a thing to be like, oh, well, next year is going to be my year. You know, that's not real. And, you know, March 2nd is a new day. And, you know, just like January 1st is a new day. Just like you is creating this new, you know, new version of the podcast. So we could tie that up, talk about what can people look forward to on the new version of the podcast, and also other things that you have that you want to share to send people to.
Yeah, for sure. So I did a special filmed. We self-produced and worked with a great production company and put out a special this year called Chasing Wonder. That's currently available on Amazon, and we just signed a distribution deal for some other exciting things that are going to come out. So it'll be available other places soon, but right now you can see that on Amazon Prime. And then my podcast used to be called About to Break, and it's funny, you know this, it was a conversation with entertainers about trying to break into this industry before the industry broke them. And then this year was interesting because like the kind of the whole industry is broken, you know, with venues being shut down and all this. And so I wanted to shift the podcast to not only talk about like what is going to be new and like moving forward in entertainment, but also to like bring in all these voices from friends that I've met outside of the entertainment business that I think like have a lot of amazing things that people should hear about, you know? And so the podcast is going to be called Chasing Wonder with Taylor Hughes. Same name as the special. You can get it now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that. And new episodes will be coming out very shortly. But it's really just talking about what does it look like to pursue wonder in your everyday life? What do you do every day to add a little extra into your ordinary so that it seems extraordinary? And so that's it, man. Just conversations and kind of like tips and tricks on how to just pursue life through the eyes of wonder.
Awesome. Sweet. That'll be great to see that evolve and take on its life of its own there as it evolves into its new thing. It'll be awesome. And
you said just a minute ago how people are always like, well, I don't know what I want my website to be, or I don't know what I want this to be. I don't fully know what I want this podcast to be. I'm just going to start it and let it become what it needs to become and not be afraid to like take turns and twists with it. So I think that's a great challenge that you put out there of like, don't be afraid that you have to have the whole thing figured out or laid out in your mind, because the reality is it's going to change constantly. You might as well just start it. Just pick a day and say, that's the day it's happening. And before you know it, you know, you'll be looking back 3 years from now going, wow, look at all the amazing things that happened.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's like nobody ever, no matter what the artist was, no famous artist or movie director or whatever made their first masterpiece with the first crayon that they picked up when they were a kid. Like it was, they didn't have to study to do it. They just started drawing on the wall with the crayon and then.
Yeah. Like I don't think Jon Favreau was like, okay, someday I'm going to direct Marvel films and I'm going to write The Mandalorian, Star Wars, but it's going to be owned by Disney. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to make a chef show out of a food truck. But first, I'm going to write a movie called PCU about some crazy college. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, you just got to start. You just got to start doing it. Do something.
Yeah. And it's awesome. I always appreciate hearing the stuff and seeing the work that you're doing and making stuff and trying stuff, particularly, is like trying stuff of like, you're like, let's do a live stream show for, you know, it's like there's all these little things that are like, oh, okay, that evolved into this and that evolved into that. So if there's anything for people to take away is like, you never actually need to have it all really figured out, but you need to be keep trying something new every day or develop the thing that you tried yesterday a little bit better or a little bit different and keep making things happen.
So good, man. Well, thank you for inspiring me to do it, and thank you for, you know, putting this kind of stuff out so that people know like they're not alone, like there are resources, and And yeah, just sometimes we just need someone else to believe in us. And you've always been such a big champion of that for other people. So thank you, man.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for doing the same. So listeners and watchers of the podcast, if you are only listening, you can watch the podcast on my YouTube channel. And if you're watching on my YouTube channel right now, you can find the podcast on all the podcast platforms, any audio player, search Between Dreams with Chris Ruggiero. And while you're there, Chasing Wonder with Taylor Hughes.
Thank you.
Also on Amazon and soon, or maybe already, other places.
Yeah.
All right. That's it.